The Sports Illustrated Media Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. And a promo code MEDIA at MEDIA at FanDuel.com for a bonus match of up to $200. We're also sponsored by the SeatGeek app, the easiest way to find a great deal, pay for your ticket, and get to your seat. Download the SeatGeek app and enter our code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A, for $20 off your first purchase.
I went over to him. I was like, I'm a huge fan of your work. And I see you guys are starting up this site called Grantland. I did all of the intel about it. I would love to participate, maybe whether it's doing something with you and or having my own podcast. I don't know what the terms of his old or new deal is. And I do know that he's really happy at HBO, and he's going to, you know, make his waves over there. I follow their program, and I'm a fan of what they do. But I'm also happy to be at ESPN. They've given me a great platform and a great opportunity. I'm really excited about my opportunities at the network. I know he's excited of what's going to happen at HBO. You never know what's going to happen in the future. I've seen stranger things happen.
Welcome to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast, where each week we interview an interesting member of the sports media. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer is Alan Kim. And this week's guest is the ESPN and ESPN radio commentator, Jalen Rose, who has a number of different roles for that company. He's part of the cast of NBA Countdown. He's a co-host on the Jalen Jacoby radio show, which is also, as people who will be listening to this know, a very popular podcast with David Jacoby. Away from ESPN, Jalen Rose is the founder of the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy in Detroit. That's a charter school for kids between 9th grade and 12th grade. The first graduating class, I think, just happened. Check that out. Google Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. It's kind of an amazing school and worth your time seeing that. Jalen Rose is also the author of a new memoir that's out. Got to Give the People What They Want, True Stories and Flagrant Opinions from Center Court. Got to Give the People What They Want is sort of a Jalen Rose catchphrase, I think, as people who listen to Jalen and watch Jalen know. Fun book, by the way, especially for those who are fans of the Fab Five and 1990s basketball. All right, before we get to Jalen, I want to thank everybody for the great feedback on the last couple podcasts. Jim Miller, who was my guest last week discussing the future of Grantland and some of the things that are happening at that popular website. The podcast hit number 2 on the iTunes Sports and Rec chart, which quite frankly is amazing. So topped the Fox juggernaut of Colin Cowherd and Katie Nolan, took out Matt Berry and his 57 fantasy podcast. Of course, we could not top Bill Simmons, who probably gets about 1 billion listeners a week. But thank you very much. That was kind of incredible to see, I'm not going to lie, for this little podcast to hit those kind of numbers. The numbers also on the Paul Heyman podcast have been incredible. You know, whatever we're hitting, and so I'm not sure I should give the proprietary numbers out, but for us, they're some pretty incredible numbers. That podcast was great. Paul Heyman at WWE was incredible, and I thank him. We've also had some great guests: Jay Onright, Israel Gutierrez, Francesca Weems, Susie Kolber, Mike Hill, Jamel Hill, Katie Nolan. So thank you very much for listening. You can check out any of the past podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. They're also at si.com/podcasts. And again, I just can't thank you enough for the support. I think this is like podcast number 26. And I'm not going to lie, more people listening to this than I ever in a million years would have expected. So thank you very much for that. All right. So I don't know where Jalen Rose is today, Alan Kim. He's either in Michigan or Los Angeles. Maybe he's in Bristol. But we do have a number for him, and he is on the line. So without any further ado, here's ESPN's Jalen Rose.
Thank you kindly for having me on your podcast competition, because you're so really good at what you do. I am a fan and supporter.
The check's in the mail, Jalen. First question, Jalen, is how can I give the people what they want on this podcast?
Raw, refreshing, uncut, unfiltered. Nothing is off limits. I'm an open book.
All right, we're gonna heed that advice. Carissa Thompson, who was a guest on this podcast, who you know from your ESPN days with her, You two also share the same broadcast agent. And one of the things she said on this podcast always struck me. She said she got one of her life philosophies from you, and that is appreciate your position, but plan your promotion. Define that for the audience, Jalen. What is appreciate your position, but plan your promotion?
Always strive and plan for the next step. It's kind of like if a seed is sitting on the desk and it falls to the ground. Are you burying it or are you planting it? I'm the person, I guess, because my last name is Rose. I'm always about trying to build, trying to expand relationships, trying to do what I can to be the best that I can. And I'm glad you brought up Carissa, who I like a lot, and she's doing a really good job at FS1. We actually worked together at the Best Damn Sports Show.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Before ESPN in the early 2000s. So my media trek started when I was playing. I was playing for the Indiana Pacers, got traded in February. The Bulls had 9 wins. I was like, oh, guess we ain't going to the playoff. I guess it's time for me to put this mass communications skills that I acquired at Michigan to work. So that's what that truly means. Continuing to strive to do your best, to be your best, never get satisfied, never settle.
At what point, Jalen, during your professional career, did you realistically think about a post-playing career in broadcasting?
I always thought about it. Growing up, being a fan of the NBA, when it was on tape delay, a child of the 70s, watching Dr. J do the cradle dunk, and I was trying to do the exact same thing in the house, taking hangers out of the closet, putting them at the top of the door, trying to do the Dr. J cradle dunk, writing my autographs to be Dr. J. So that's just kind of innate on how I fell in love with the game. And then it was Bird and Magic in their era. But while I wanted to play and I felt like I had a great opportunity to be a player, I always felt like multimedia was something I wanted to get involved in. And so we have a room full of guys playing multiple video games, have two TVs set up. When you lose a game, don't go sit on the sideline and pick your nose. No, you got to commentate the next game. And that kept everybody involved. And being around my late great uncle, Paramore Hicks Jr., who was my version of Muhammad Ali in my family, because he was a jokester. He was a hustler. And he worked really hard. He was disciplined. He was diligent. But he was able to articulate himself. And everybody liked him, and he was a magnet, and he never met an enemy. And so I wanted to be a lot like that with my personality. So falling into media is something I always wanted to do.
Jalen, one of the things when you either talk to Magic Johnson or read about him, during his playing career, he was always interested in talking to people in business. Like, he would take the opportunity from his fame in athletics and meet these very famous business people so he could learn from them. When you were playing, did you ever make it a point to seek out any people in broadcasting because you had your, you had designs in the back of your mind that you might do this after you retired?
Absolutely. While I was in the league, I was doing radio with James Brown, now of CBS.
CBS, right.
I was contributing to his radio show while I was still in the league. Gus Johnson is also a Detroit native and one of the best at what he does in calling games and bringing, sporting events to life. And being a part of the NFL Countdown show when JB took me to meet, Howie and Terry and Jimmy, who I'm a big-time fan of back in his days at coaching at the U, and then over to Dallas. I fell out with the Cowboys when Jimmy fell out with the Cowboys. And so I had so many mentors. Stuart Scott was somebody that I looked up to, that I worked consistently at the NBA Finals with every year, that I miss dearly and love a lot. Michael Wilbon now working for ESPN. I'm really fortunate that I had so many people, and obviously Bill Simmons, who's my friend and my mentor. And I learned so much from being around Bill and how he's able to not only write, but produce and do so many things in this multimedia space. So I've really been fortunate to have a lot of mentors that I could reach out to, get support from, and continue to try to be the best. I joke with Michael Strahan when I saw him recently, because I remember working for Best Damn Sports Show, and Tiki Barber and Michael Strahan were asking me how I was getting into the media and what could they do to be like me. And I told him, man, you done passed me. I'm trying to catch up with you now.
Strahan is the he's the template for an athlete to cross over into popular culture at the moment.
No question. Yeah, he's killing it.
He is. You brought up Simmons, and I enjoyed the book, by the way. There's a part in there where you discuss how you met Simmons and basically went up to him cold. Can you recount that story for listeners? Because it was pretty ballsy of you just to sort of find the guy, go up to him and say, hey, I'd like to be involved in what you're doing.
And success is about multiple efforts, never being lazy and always keeping your ear to the street. And so I realized that ESPN was having their post-ESPYs party, and I knew that he would be there. So I found a way to get a couple of passes or whatnot. It probably was after midnight. I wanted to lay in the cut, allow the adults to have a couple of beverages. And then I went over to him. I was like, I'm a huge fan of your work. And I see you guys are starting up this site called Grantland. I did all of the intel about it. I would love to participate, maybe whether it's doing something with you and or having my own podcast. And so he was actually surprised that I was versed in that space.
Right.
So at the time, I was one of the guys that was doing Ustream videos. You know, I have a YouTube page that I've had up almost 10 years. So I was always, you know, paying attention to the space. And so he appreciated it and he gave me his number. And I told him I was going to reach out to him on Monday. But what I did on Monday, I called him at 9:01. Like, I'm going to call him first thing to let him know I'm not pump faking. And so it took me a while to finally track him down and actually get the meeting, because obviously he's really busy. And so finally, when we got the meeting, I did the whole pitch about doing the podcast, and he liked it. But then I was like, one other thing, though. I want to do it with David Jacoby. And he was like, first off, how you even know him? You know, second, like, and he said to me and Jacoby, once we all, you know, came to the same place at the same time, like, you don't have a guy that you play with in the league you want to do it with, or, you know, or something special? I was like, no, because you guys are a team, you're killing it, and worst case scenario, if I do it with him, it won't get buried, because he posts everything. And so that led to the passion project of me and Jacoby's podcast we were doing 4 years ago that was not in either one of our contracts, that has now grown to be a really popular radio show that we're proud of.
Yeah, smart. Find the guy behind the guy. You know, the thing with you and Simmons that's just, you know, in terms of if you step back and sort of just look at you on different characteristics, he's an East Coast guy, you're a Midwest guy. You're black, he's white. He grew up, you know, upper middle class, if not wealthy. You grew up the opposite, but yet you guys connect. Now you're both LA guys, but you connect. There's a chemistry there that logically maybe people wouldn't have thought would have happened. Why did that happen? Why do you and Bill Simmons just connect so well?
We need to do a buddy cop movie, because we're 48 hours, really. He's Jack Cates and I'm Reggie Hammond. And I think why we connected, well, a couple of things. One, I didn't take it personal as a player when people wrote negative things about me. And so there was a time probably like in 2003 when Bill was doing his NBA preview and he was talking about some of the players that were overpaid. And I joked with him as we became friends. I said, I'd rather be overrated than underpaid.
Right.
Okay. And he talked disparaging. He talked negative about me in that piece, but I didn't take it personal. And so, because I was playing on a losing team and I did have a big salary, so it didn't necessarily bother me. And so as we realized that we both share a passion for the NBA and for basketball, but also the ability to create quality content. Like, he's a sponge to all of the television shows and who's writing what. And I'm the exact same way, paying attention to fashion, politics, music, trying to be as versed as possible. And also, the best way to describe it is we were doing NBA previews. And we sat in the room for six straight hours. And I promise you, neither one of us ate anything or got up and used the bathroom. Because we didn't want the other one to think that they were getting the edge or outworking the other or being soft because they had to get up and go eat or use the bathroom.
Right.
So that's the kind of commitment we have to this craft.
All right, Jalen, don't get fired, but I'm going to ask you a question about Simmons here. In your opinion, could the relationship between Bill and ESPN have been saved in any fashion?
I don't know, because you know how it works. It's still a business play. Everyone's under contract, and you have to agree to terms. And I don't know what the terms of his old or new deal is. And I do know that he's really happy at HBO, and he's going to, you know, make his waves over there. I follow their program, and I'm a fan of what they do. But I'm also happy to be at ESPN. They've given me a great platform and a great opportunity. I'm really grateful to have my job. I was on Monday Night Football last night promoting the NBA.
I saw that.
Me, that's who? So, yes, I'm really excited about my opportunities at the network. I know he's excited of what's going to happen at HBO. You never know what's going to happen in the future. I've seen stranger things happen.
You're sort of hinting maybe at a romance again down the road between Bill and ESPN?
I'm not the person that dictates whether he stays or goes by any way, shape, or form.
I do like the fact that you dropped the 48-hour reference, which I appreciate. That one of the great films of that time. You sing Roxanne at all or no? Can you pull?
Absolutely.
That up? All right. I like
you
that.
Don't have to turn on the red light.
Nice.
Absolutely. And one of my other favorite songs, the Eddie Murphy song.
It party, was actually party on all, party all the time.
Saturday Night Live. You know, when you go in the bathroom, you watch his feet move, and he's under the boardwalk.
Right.
We be having some fun. I like that one, too.
Well, no, Eddie Murphy's James Brown imitation is probably, might be the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's classic material.
Very much. All right, I'm going to ask you an open-ended question. You can go wherever you want with it. Do you think you're a good broadcaster, and why?
I don't think I'm a good broadcaster. I think I'm a terrific, fantastic, wonderful broadcaster. I think I'm the best to do it. I wasn't Magic Johnson as a player, but I'm going to be him as a multimedia personality.
How have you gone about improving in the medium? If you are, as you say, Magic Johnson of broadcasting, you know, you didn't walk into the craft as Magic, but if that's where you say you are now, how did you go from point A to point B?
And I'm saying all of this tongue-in-cheek,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, I know.
Okay. Here's what I try to do. There are a couple of things that are really important in this space. One, and I mentioned it with Bill, don't take anything personal. Say what you see without bias. And people will respect that. And that's one of the things I try to always do. Be well-informed. I know I laugh and joke about champagning and campaigning, but a lot of people don't realize if I was overseeing a franchise, how Bill Belichick and Pop act, that's how I would act. I pay attention to the landscape. I'm a groundhog when it comes to information. Every morning I'm sitting here with my laptop, my two phones, with the TV on, scouring the globe for information. That's what I do. I work in this space. I take pride in my job. And not only do I want to be good on television, but I try to work as hard as anyone in the industry. And lastly, have fun. Don't take yourself too serious. And don't make every situation about you, but a lot of players and the activities and to define themselves.
What I want to ask you something, because you're unique in this, in that you are part of multiple mediums. You do your ESPN audio with Jacoby. That's also a podcast, so you can get you on that. You can get you on traditional terrestrial radio. You're on television as well, whether it's Countdown, like you said, Monday Night Football yesterday. When you are doing these different things, are you a different broadcaster depending on the medium, or do you think you are the same broadcaster regardless of medium?
You have to pay attention to the audience. So if you're a DJ and they hire you to do a gig and the audience wants to hear disco and rock, you're not going to play rap all night because that's not what the audience wants. So because of that, I think where a lot of broadcasters could probably do things different is to truly pay attention to the audience. And so my audience for a Countdown is an audience from 5 years old to 85 years old. We're on Sunday afternoons on ABC. That's when people coming from church and all the family sitting around having their afternoon dinner watching our show. So there's a different level of entertainment, but also a level of sanity that you need to have while delivering the news and or articulating your points, but not taking it too far. The podcast and or the radio show with Jacoby is a total different extreme. 7 to 9 Eastern. It's a drive time in certain areas of the country. It's more hardcore. It's more upfront. When you're doing professional basketball, it's okay to be a little more critical of your expectations of the players. When you're doing collegiate basketball, there's still kids on scholarship. So there are different mediums where you need to behave differently.
How do you specifically prepare for the you and Jacoby show? Because, you know, radio, sports radio, at least traditional sports radio, it's a lot of preparation to be good. You gotta know your stuff. You can't fake it. You gotta know multiple sports. And, you know, if you're doing that 5 days a week, that's a real time commitment. So are you, like you said, you got the laptop, two phones. Are you working all day just sort of studying up on what's going on in sports that day?
Absolutely. So, for example, yesterday, I'm going to bring you behind the scenes. People don't believe that this actually takes place, but I'm going to let everybody in on something. Around 7:30 a.m., me and David Jacoby have a phone call about everything that's happened in the world of sports and entertainment, politics, anything across the globe. About 12:30, and I guess it's because we must not get tired of each other. For some strange reason, we also meet again and kind of break down what we discussed earlier in the day and, you know, come up with topic bar or what's going to be a video, what ad lib might we use with a story, what song may we play with a situation, and get all of the information to the gentlemen that are compiling it. In this case, is Harlan, Joe, that work on our show, Harlan and Joe and Carlos. And then we meet again at 3:15. I think it's just because at that point, he want to make sure I'm in the building. so he don't have to worry about me being late. And I joked with him yesterday. I was walking down the hall coming from the bathroom. My phone ring and it's 3:14. I'm like, for some reason, I wish it was Halle Berry, but I know it's you, so I'm not answering. And so at 3:50, we sit in the chairs, and at 4 o'clock, it's go time.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back soon with Jalen Rose. Fantasy football, of course, in this country is a major, major focal point. So many people playing. So many people interested, and the desire to be part of a collective action is one reason why fantasy sports has grown so much. But a lot of people don't play because the NFL season is too long a commitment. FanDuel changes all that, and if you've ever wanted to try it out, use my code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A, at FanDuel.com for a bonus match of up to $200. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. They will pay out over $75 million a week this football season. Entry fees start at $1, so there's a league for everyone. Over 1 million players have won playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Now it's your turn. If you're watching the games anyway, try out FanDuel. It turns your NFL Sunday into a whole new experience. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use the code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A, and sign up now. Here's a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A, so don't get left out today. FanDuel also offers daily fantasy baseball, basketball, and hockey. Find out why daily fantasy sports have gotten so popular and do it on FanDuel.com with our code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A, FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Try it out today. Jalen, when we talked last October, I asked you what your when we talked, you were 41, and I said, "What should your broadcasting career look like by the time you're 50?" And you said you really enjoyed what you were doing now, but that there was a social relevant side to you, and the show that you'd really like to ultimately do is something similar to what Bill Maher's doing at HBO. Does that remain the same, that you would ultimately at some point like to have some kind of show that discusses social issues, politics, economics, et cetera?
It does, and I do. Those mediums have fluctuated, whether it's late night TV. You see so many late night shows doing so very well. And what we do at ESPN, more investigative reporting, whether it's E60 or Outside the Lines, or even just information that happens throughout the day. I wanted to be a hybrid of the two. I am a fan of Bill Maher. Not that I agree with all of his beliefs, but I don't agree with all of anyone's beliefs. And so that's not a surprise. I would love to go on a show one day, but I think that medium for sports has gotten lost. Because while we talk about the score of the game and we promote what's going to happen and or give our opinions to speculate about what we saw, I think there's a different element of sports and entertainment that can be attached to a show like that. And that is something that I'm passionate about and hope happens one day.
Why did you want to write a book?
For me, it was like a baptism, really. At different points of your life, it's always good to press the refresh button. If you see people who've had sustained amount of success, you know, I've been in the public eye since Michigan, 17 years old. So you got to continue to reinvent yourself. You see Jay-Z, that's why he's had multiple names, and Sean Puffy Combs, and the list goes on and on of people that continue to reinvent themselves. And so I felt this was a point in my life where I wanted to press the refresh button. Whatever happened in the past, good, bad, or indifferent, if I can lend a voice, if I can lend moral support, if I can lend strength to somebody that wants to fight through some perseverance or some tough times and learn from my mistakes, I'm willing to be that person that puts out some content that's all true. Yeah, I know I told a lot of my personal business. I didn't want the world to know I peed in the bed till I was in fourth grade. I'm not necessarily proud of that. I'm not necessarily proud of being a part of an attempted assassination, you know. But again, if these stories give strength to others, I'm willing to share. And so now, you know, I just look at it as a fresh start.
I want to ask you a couple things about the book. Because, you know, books, when people reflect on their life, they could take a lot of shapes. They could try to be funny, and certainly there's parts in your book that are really funny. A lot of times people want to do sort of books that are score settling, where they take out all their enemies. Your book is like a mix of a lot of different things, but there are parts in there which you are very candid about what happened to you in the league, particularly Larry Brown, who, for whatever reason, just wanted to bury you as a pro. That's a long prelude to, when you look at what's going on with Larry Brown now, do you derive any satisfaction from his program being under investigation? How do you look at that particular situation?
Not at all. And It was the same thing, never meeting my biological father. I remember calling him from Dale Davis's house one day after I carried around a letter that he gave Mitch Albom when I was in college. I don't know how Mitch gave me a letter for the final, at the Final Four from my father that I never met, but it is what it is.
Yeah, when you finish the story, I want to ask you about that, because that's a pretty interesting journalism move. So go ahead.
Right. And so the first thing I said to my father when I got on the phone with him is that I love you and I don't have any hard feelings. Maybe it was meant to be for me to take the path I took without him being in my life. I found success. I'm not bitter in any way, shape, or form. Thank you. And I don't feel any bitterness towards Larry Brown either. He's a Hall of Fame coach, the only coach to win a championship in college and in the professional ranks. I respect his career. And I take no solace in what's happening at the SMU program. I don't look at it any different to what's happening at Louisville, what's happening at Syracuse. It's unfortunate that when you see Boeheim and Patino and Larry having these issues at this point of their careers, but I by no means root against him because we buried the hatchet. I was working for Best Damn Sports Show. I think it was the 2000 NBA Finals, my Detroit Pistons versus the Lakers. He was the head coach of the team. We got a chance to talk about it, and he apologized for how he miscast me, and he basically judged me as the brash, skinny, bumpy-faced dude from the Fab Five. And because of that, he never truly gave me a chance to get to know me. And when he said that to me, I appreciated it. I shook his hand. And at that point, it was over. And so that's how I still feel.
That's interesting. Tell me if I'm not telling this correctly, but I don't know if it was the Final Four, the Elite Eight, but seemingly before a big game, Mitch Albom, the columnist at the Detroit Free Press and obviously a very famous writer, came up to you and said, I have a letter from your biological father I want to give you. Is that roughly correct?
Yeah, in theory. Here's what's disappointing. I didn't pay attention to this as a college kid because before social media for you youngsters out there and YouTube, everything was on VHS, VCR. So normally, if we were to watch the game, it would be already edited and the commercials were out by the time we got the copy from the coaches. It wasn't as transparent. Everybody has their laptop now or, you know, their mobile device. It was way different. So I remember doing research for the Fab Five documentary and looking back at a couple of our games to try to get clips. I'm like, wait a minute, let me rewind something. They were actually playing the commercials to promote Mitch Albom's Fab Five book during our games. Okay. And so out of boycott, I guess you would call it, I've never read the book. I have it. I have it. I appreciate that I hear from a lot of people that he did a really good job writing the book, but I personally, out of protest, never read the book. And so when he came to me, I think we were at the Final Four, he was still trying to do his due diligence and intel to complete his book. And I found out in the letter, my father didn't want to be a part of it and didn't want me to think he was just trying to piggyback off of my stardom as a college player. So he didn't want to do it. So that's why he wrote me the letter. And so Mitch gave me that letter, I guess, to get my response. And I didn't have much of a response. I was kind of numb to it, as you know, because I kept the letter almost 10 years before I ever opened it.
Right. Do you think that was a Bush League move by Mitch Albom to do that before one of the biggest games of your collegiate career?
I think he felt I could handle it. So I don't think he was doing it maliciously at all. I think that he wanted to get a true response from somebody that was trying to write a book. And I didn't have much of a response. And I would not have done it, but I truly think he did it because he felt, for whatever it's worth, that I could handle.
In the process of writing the book, Jalen, how did that work? Did you talk to a writer and, you know, tape like 6 to 10 hours worth of transcripts, or did you do it? Did you have a different kind of process?
I had an amazing writer. His name is Aaron Cohen. He also was the writer for the Fab Five documentary, and I hope that we're going to do more projects together. Initially, when you start to write a book, you think, well, he could just Google everything, get all of the highlights off YouTube. I don't have to talk to him. I'll see him in a year and the book could be done. Yeah, it doesn't work that way, sir.
Exactly. Right.
Before you know it, you're reading, you're proofreading, you're editing. You have to actually tell your story, Jalen. It's actually your book. It's going to be some work by you. You have to tell me what color the car was. You have to tell me what name the street, what the name of the street was, who was in the locker room that day. So we spent a lot of time, energy, collaborating on it. I appreciate the response that we're getting back from the public, which is amazing. And in the radio podcast era, and somebody that was been doing that space for years, I even took the time to do an audio book. It was 10 sessions, wow, around 3 hours per session, 30 hours to get the people what they want.
Nice. One last question on Michigan. How do you react, Jalen, in sort of current time when, you know, not even too long ago, we saw Chris do an interview with Doug Gottlieb. He got asked about the relationship with you. Chris didn't want to talk about it. It was sort of made for awkward radio, but you know, I'll just be blunt. There's an interest in your relationship, I think, because of how big the Fab Five was. Did you have any reaction when you found out about that interview and the fact that Chris sort of even refuses to address it in a public forum?
Yes, we were doing Jalen and Jacoby radio show around 5:30 Pacific when the clip eventually got sent around. And so I got a chance to watch it. And it's really just unfortunate because, as I've said, until I'm blue in the face, that's my brother. I love him. We've been friends since we were 12 and under AAU. We decided we were going to go to college in the same living room. We played at University of Michigan together and created a brotherhood and that'll never be broken. It's really unfortunate because you hate to see your favorite groups break up. Like, I didn't want to see New Edition break up. I hated Johnny Gill because he took Bobby Brown's place. I never even met him. I didn't like when EPMD broke up. I didn't like when the Jackson 5 broke up. So the public doesn't like to see one of their favorite groups, in theory, break up. But we're not broken up. And the term, like, former members of the Fab Five, like, we are the Fab Five. We're not former. And I do think, however, the fraction that not only takes place with me, but it's four other members of the Fab Five as well. Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, Ray Jackson. And when I speak, it's not just about my personal relationship with him. I'm talking for people that are no longer here anymore, like Ed Martin, people that are no longer in Michigan anymore that lost their jobs, like Steve Fisher, people that never played an NBA game, like Ray Jackson. And so I do think we will see eye to eye and be on the same page one day. I truly hope so, because we deserve it as brothers. We're not just former teammates, we're brothers. And I do think we'll get past it because you can't break up with family.
Chris has become a really, I think, terrific broadcaster. I like watching him both on a game as well as the studio. Did you see that at all when you were in college? Could you have envisioned him going into broadcasting as you did?
I did, no doubt. He was always articulate. He was always versed. He always had the ability to function in any situation, the city or the suburbs. And going to Detroit Country Day probably was the best decision his mom has made for him in his life, because it's a wonderful school. So I saw it from him, for him, but I'm sure the world didn't see it for me. And so what my plan was, everything they saw in him, I wanted to be a person that people believed in also. There was rumors when we went to Michigan. Chris came from Detroit Country Day. Jalen, you're coming from the Detroit Public School. Are you going to actually be able to compete academically at Michigan? What position is he going to play? So I was the person that was trying to strive to keep up because he always was polished and disciplined. The number one pick in the draft, was the team's best player, has a great smile. I agree with you. He's killing it on TV. That's why I don't see why he doesn't choose to let go of past transgressions for the greater good of the group. Yes, he's gone on and is doing amazing things, but doesn't Ray Jackson deserve an opportunity to take his kids to Ann Arbor and see the fruits of his labor back in the rafters? And if all you got to do is say, I'm sorry, even if you don't mean it, I'm the person that would do it.
Let's take a quick break with Jalen Rose, and we'll be back right after this. All right, the World Series has started this week, and if you're a Mets or Royals fan, you're probably thinking, how can I get myself to one of these games? Obviously, demand is very high, and it won't be cheap, but you can easily find the best deal available on SeatGeek and get $20 off using my code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A. Here's how it works. You download the SeatGeek app on your iPhone or Android. It's free and takes less than a minute to download. Then you search for your event, find a great deal, enter our code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A, and when you complete your purchase, SeatGeek will send you a $20 check to your house. It's that easy. SeatGeek is paying you to use their service. SeatGeek pulls in ticket options from hundreds of sellers online, shows you the best deal automatically. When you shop on SeatGeek, you're seeing virtually every ticket option available on one page. On SeatGeek, there's the deal score feature that ranks every ticket on the market with a value score and plots the best deals on a color-coded map of the venue. Finally, SeatGeek's mobile app makes ticket buying seamless, easy, and safe. On SeatGeek, you can store your credit card, and once you find a ticket you want to buy, you make the purchase with two quick taps of your phone. There's no faster way to buy tickets. So, to redeem your promo code and get your $20 check, download the free SeatGeek app today, enter promo code MEDIA in the app. SeatGeek will then send you $20 once you've made your first SeatGeek purchase. The Mets and the Royals are in the World Series right now. Very interesting series, and my colleagues Ted Keith and Stephen Canella have baseball fans covered on their show, The Strike Zone. They'll go inside the 2015 World Series with expert views on the Royals and Mets. Both those guys have covered baseball at the park as well as served as editors here in-house at Sports Illustrated. They absolutely know their stuff. They put on a really good show. So check it out. Pretty interesting to see the 1985 World Series champs against the 1986 World Series champs now in 2015. So that's the Strike Zone podcast. Search for it on iTunes or visit si.com/podcast. The Strike Zone. All right, back with Jalen Rose, and we'll keep him for a little bit longer. Jalen, one thing I do want to get in, and I did get this in at the top, and I think it's because it's really worth just hearing your voice about it, because it's really among, if not the best thing that you do, and that's the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy in Detroit. That's a charter school, and if you go on that site, you see kind of the amazing things that is happening at this school, and this school has really changed a lot of people's lives. I remember when I did an interview with you, Jalen, in October. You probably don't know this, but I called the school to find out how actually active you were, and I talked to a couple of the administrators there, and they had your back. They said, you know, this is not just a face. This guy's at the school. He takes an interest in the students. So is this the most fulfilling thing that you have done professionally, is to create this charter school in Detroit?
I think so. I guess the great thing about it is I never truly think about it in those terms. I just think about it as I was so very fortunate to have education and basketball concurrently in my life, to graduate from high school, to graduate from college. I know how important education is to young men and young women if their trajectory in their life is going to reach their goals and dreams. And I'm just trying to, I guess, bridge the education gap. The quality of your education should not be defined by your zip code. And we all know it is. Those with wherewithal have the opportunity to move into a community where the school is high performing, and or if they're really fortunate, put their kids in private school. But what about those who are on the opposite end of the spectrum? So to start a charter high school in the zip code that I grew up in, 48235, to try to bridge the education gap is basically what I just described for between myself and Chris Weber in theory. How can I get a student from the Detroit public school in theory that the state is giving $7,300 per year for and giving us zero state funding for our facility, which is a mockery, not to expand, not to rent, not to lease, not to upgrade, repairs, not a dime. How can I get that Detroit public school student to sit in the same classroom at the University of Michigan as the Detroit Country Day student, and they both have a chance for success? And not only are we getting the kids to graduate from high school, which we had our first graduating class on June 6th, really proud of that. Thanks, Big Sean, Isaiah Thomas, NBA Hall of Famer, former mayors Bing and Archer, co-founder Michael Carter, everybody that made it possible. Now we're making sure that we track our students through college as well. We have a college success team that's attached to our school and to our budget. And we're also keeping the data on these young men and young women graduating from college too.
How many students are in the school, Jalen?
417.
Wow. Broken down between, is it 9 through 12 or is it 8 through 12?
It's 9 through 12.
Wow.
We're tuition free. We're public charter. We're open enrollment. And if you want to find out more about the school, please go to jrladetroit.com.
Yeah, it's well worth your time to do that. All right, a couple more here, Jalen. I'm going to transition pretty heavy here from this charter school to something else. You did something a couple of years ago that I thought was honest and ballsy. And listen, maybe you did it because your contract was set. Maybe you did it because you have money. I don't know why you did it. But you called out Skip Bayless on his own show, and you called him out for misstating his high school basketball career. That was uncomfortable television, in my opinion, because it was honest. My feelings on Skip Bayless are very well known. Anybody who listens to this podcast or follows me on Twitter, et cetera, it's not a big surprise. So you know what point of view I have. When you look back on that segment, Jalen, how do you feel about what happened?
It's a debate show, and I'm probably one of the only people still with the network that actually was on Cold Pizza also. So, like, I am a fan of the show still currently. It's funny, I'm watching the show right now. Stephen A., Molly, and Skip. Spike Lee's joining them tomorrow. I'm literally watching it right now. When we were debating, it's almost like KRS-One, one of my favorite rappers, he always said that he kept a diss record for everybody in the top 10 in case somebody wanted to come at him. And so in the debate world, what you're trying to come up with is facts, stats, and figures that may be body blows, maybe headshots if you need them. And yes, that debate did become personal. And I regret that it became personal. And so in our banter, I did bring up some intel that I'd done. I got some of it off Black Sports Online and I vetted it. And so when I was on the show and the debate became personal, I exposed the information that I had about his high school career. As I look back at it again, I probably should have handled it different. But again, we were debating, so I didn't regret at the time what was happening because I didn't realize the magnitude of what was actually going down. But as I digest how it went down, me and Skip have since squashed our beef, if you want to call it that. And I'm still a fan of the show, and he's really hardworking, and they're killing it. Their ratings are up, and they're winning.
Have you been back on the show since then?
I have not.
Do you think that's related to your segment?
I did the car wash most recent, and you know, people are really knowledgeable, and I had a lot of fans. Like, we noticed that you was on every show except that one. I was like, well, I didn't go on Outside the Line. But first off, Stephen A. That's, you know, I consider him a friend. I went on his highly questionable show. I think it was highly questionable.
No, quite frankly, maybe, right?
Quite frankly. Yeah, I went on Quite Frankly. He was gracious enough to have me on when he first started the show. So I've always respected and appreciated him. I worked on NBA with him. He's a really hard-working dude. He do a two-hour TV show and a two-hour radio show every day.
Right.
I'm like, I am not mad at you. And I see him on NFL Countdown and all of that. So I'm a fan of what he's doing. And again, I squash whatever disagreement I had with Skip and or vice versa. We worked the NBA Finals together these last handful of years. We shake hands. We kiss babies. Everything is good. Just saw him when I went to Bristol. All is bueno. Now, to your question,
right?
I would love to go back on the show, and hopefully they have me back soon.
All right. Well, trust me, people will listen to this, and the message is there. I do like the fact that that was Jalen's hit him up diss track on First Take. That'll always be shout out to Tupac there. All right, Alan Kim, my producer, who is a huge fan of the Jalen and Jacoby podcast, has a couple questions for Jalen, so I will sit back and let him go. Alan.
Hey, Jalen. So you recently had Tristan Thompson on the podcast. Jacoby likes to give you a hard time about not having guests on the show. Is there a reason? Is there a reason you don't book more guests? And if you could have a dream guest, who would it be and why?
Oh, I'll answer the latter first. It's Halle Berry. I'm working on it. One. Two, how do you be different? Is constantly what I tried to think about. And we garnered our audience by me and him sitting there for 2 hours and doing a podcast with no commercials and no guests. And so our audience, in a day where attention span is so very short, we have a huge audience of people that sit down and actually listen to our podcast for 60 plus minutes. It's happening. We have the data. It's really popular. It's so popular, it became a radio show. So if there's breaking news and or somebody just got an $80 million contract and he's done no interviews with anyone and we could get him on, great. But I don't want to have guests just for the sake of having them to force content when, with all humility, like, I work really hard to be versed in all of these topics. And so we don't have to do that when I'm sitting right there.
Okay. So I'm curious, how did story time with Jalen come about? And did the evolution of that help to inspire you to write the book?
It did. It was a precursor to the book. How did story time come up is basically me sitting around with Bill and Jacoby, friends for the last 5 years, whether it's 3 a.m. or 3 p.m, me telling stories. And Bill, like, no, we got to start. No, wait a minute. We got to start putting these out. We got to bring these to life. There's a way you can censor these stories. We got to tell some of these.
Are you ever worried about getting in trouble sharing some of these? Like when you revealed, like you stuck your foot under Kobe while he was taking a jump shot.
You know the crazy thing about that is that shows how much the game has changed. First off, when you see the trajectory of me and his careers now, a lot of youngsters probably think I was just some hatchet man going in to hurt Kobe Bryant. Well, they won the championship, and he's a 5-time champion. But I have actually averaged more than him during that NBA final, for whatever that's worth. Not too many people can say that. And so if he would have got hurt and he only had 4 rings and I have 1, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. And he got his payback. He had his amazing 81 game. I had a front row courtside seat for that one. And the 10-year anniversary is coming up in January. I think I'm going to do something silly. Maybe I try to get Halle Berry to come on the show with a Rose 81 on. How about that?
Jalen, is it an auto block if anybody mentions 81 to you on Twitter? Or is it not automatic block there?
It's not automatic block. It's automatic block when you try to troll me. that's my whole thing. So I'm the kind of person that's like this. How do you respond when a person comes to your face and they put their hand over their mouth and they point at you and they say, nah, 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 nah. Like, how do you respond? Do you get upset at that person?
Of course.
Like Greg Hardy on Discipline on the sideline?
Right.
Do you ignore that person? Do you give them any energy at all? So I give the people exactly what they want. I block them. And they love it. You can't, I look at the timelines. They're like, I actually got him to block me. If you hit him, he'll block you too. So what do? I oblige. People come into your life for four reasons. To add, subtract, multiply, or divide. If I think it's anything negative, I just don't want it on my timeline. So I just try to block it.
Okay, so we've got to give the people what they want. This is a two-parter. Can we get an updated All Dark Alley team?
Updated All Dark Alley team. Was Matt Barnes on the first team?
He was not.
Okay. How about this? I'll give you an All Dark Alley team, Memphis. Just think about this. That's the one squad, after he had his issue with Derek Fisher, he went back to the team, and everybody else was like, yeah, dog, way to represent.
Okay, and the second part of this question, can we have an all-habitual line-stepper team?
Oh, Greg Hardy's definitely on there. Johnny Manziel is on there.
Habitual line stepper.
Those are my two guys right now. Right off the top of my head, those are hot off the presses right now.
Okay, so are we'll expect in a future podcast to hear a full team?
Yes. You know what? You just challenged me. How about Thursday? We'll do that.
All right. We'll listen. All right, final couple here for Jalen and Rose as we wrap up. Good job, Alan. Jalen, I believe if I'm correct about this, your ESPN contract is coming up, I think, at the end of this NBA season or maybe at the end of 2015. If I don't have my dates right, I apologize. But I remember last year when I asked you this, you had said, I think, that you had 2 years left. It's just a long prelude to saying, how much would you like to continue to stay at ESPN?
I now have my dream job, and I'm really fortunate because most people, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to hear this and shake their head. When you go to college, and even if you get a degree and you have a major, normally you don't end up working in that field. I'm actually fortunate enough that I went to Michigan for mass communications, radio, TV, film, and that's what I get to do for a living. I'm on NBA Countdown. We feature our Christmas Day games, and also we're exclusive for the NBA Finals, which is on ABC. I'm fortunate to be on To Tell the Truth, a comedic variety show on ABC that's going to come out in January. And as we talked about, the Jalen and Jacoby radio show, Monday through Friday Eastern, 7 to 9 Eastern. So I'm really fortunate. I'm in a really great spot. There's so many people at ESPN that I'm grateful for, that I appreciate, that has given me the opportunity to show my talents. And I appreciate my position while I'm plotting my promotions.
So meaning you'd like to stay, or you would like
meaning
to?
Meaning I definitely, yes, okay. Yes. I would love to stay.
All right.
I would absolutely love to stay.
You
let me capitalize it. L-O-V-E. Love to stay.
You
I love to not too many times you love what you do.
True.
And you love who you work with. Like, I have that. And so I know those two dynamics are not always at play. And I have that.
Why do you think, Jalen, you know, I know you know, you've spoken really fondly of Sage, who I like a lot. I really like a lot personally, as well as on the air, but you are the longest tenured person at Countdown. You have been able to work with people going back a while, whether it was Magic or Wilbon or Bill or Sage, Doug. And it's not like that is always everybody on that set, quite frankly, has always gotten along beautifully off air. But you seem to be the one constant who can seemingly get along with everybody. Why is that, and why your longevity on that show?
I think I just try to be somebody that shows up, works as hard as he can, try to be as knowledgeable as possible, and try to create quality content for the fans. That's all they care about when they have a remote control in their hand. There's options out there. And so, yes, the Countdown set has changed. The faces have changed. And fortunately for us, I think it's changed for the better. And working with Sage and Doug on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays this year, working with Doris and Chauncey on Wednesdays, it's a great look for the network. I think the fans are going to appreciate how we deliver. And the show continues to improve. I'm happy to be a part of it. And my longevity so far, hopefully it carries me another 15 to 20 years.
All right, and finally, Jalen, I asked you this last year. I'm going to give you a chance to update it if the answer has changed. But when I asked you if there was an NBA player who Bill Simmons reminded you of, you said Patrick Beverley because he's an agitator. So now, which I liked. So now we're in October 2015. Is Beverley still the choice, or as you look at the NBA landscape, is there another player that reminds you of Bill? Especially now that Bill, you know, a lot has happened to Bill since I asked you that question.
Right. I like the agitator of Beverley. I like the ability to score and get buckets off the dribble like Isaiah Thomas. Unorthodox, lefty, plays for the Celtics. Is he going to be an all-star this year? Is he going to start the game? Is he going to come off the bench? Is he going to be a closer? Still his best days are ahead of him. I kind of like those two players as a combo.
I like that. I got to follow up, though. So who does Simmons think he would be?
I know one thing. He loves Tupac. I know that. He loved Tupac. I'm like, you love Tupac more than I do.
I think Bill likes the whole hit 'em up philosophy of life sometimes. All right, listen, Jalen Rose has been the guest this week on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. He's part of the cast of NBA Countdown. He's the co-host of the Jalen Jacoby Radio Show. That's also a podcast with David Jacoby. Jalen's book is out now. It's basically a memoir and sort of stories about his professional basketball career and obviously being part of the great Fab Five. Got to give the people what they want, true stories and flagrant opinions from center court. And Jalen's also the founder of the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy in Detroit. That's a charter school, as he mentioned on this podcast. And absolutely, I would give people the urge to check that out. That's school doing some pretty important things in a city that could, quite frankly, use more of those schools. Listen, Jalen, we appreciate your time on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I think you're an interesting guy in this field, so continued success, and thanks again for coming on.
I humbly thank you and appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, Jalen Rose. All right, my thanks to Jalen Rose back in the Sports Illustrated Podcast studio with Alan Kim. Alan, I know this was big for you. You know, usually the producer's Bette Marston, but you requested this one because you're a huge listener. You listen to this show far more than I do. I've heard Jalen and Jacoby, but I'm not going to say I'm a regular podcast / radio listener of them. But, you know, they have a good chemistry.
I'm glad that you asked him about how he prepares for the podcast. It was one of the questions I wanted to ask him. And, you know, Jacoby always gives him a hard time about him not preparing, so it was interesting to hear how much work actually goes on behind the scenes.
Even how Jalen described how he got into Grantland was pretty interesting. Basically cold approaching Bill Simmons at a party, post-ESPY party, and look where the guys ended up. He turned his Grantland podcast into a ESPN radio show, which is incredible.
It's pretty impressive to see how his post-playing career has unfolded. You know, you've got to give him props for how much work he's put into shaping it, you know, to get to where he is now.
One of the things about Jalen that's interesting, he's a very good communicator. He's a great storyteller. He's got an interesting just sort of like voice inflection, which I think really helps him. He's got a unique voice and how he approaches stuff, which helps. And he's not safe, which I think makes him a good broadcast. You know, he's everybody has a filter, but his filter is different than your traditional post like ex-jock filter. And that's why I like him. His stories like feel more genuine than when I see a lot of other ex-athletes or coaches talking on the air. That's kind of why I like him. He's authentic to me.
Yeah, he has no fear about sharing some of his stories, and they're always great to hear.
And, you know, listen, a very bright guy and smart. I mean, really sort of planning his career from the jump and knew what he wanted to do and figured out a way to do it. And now, I mean, he's a signature guy at ESPN, which is to his credit. I must say, I like the fact that he was willing to talk First Take. I was going to ask him about it. I wasn't sure how he was going to go. You know, I'm glad that he and Bayless have cleaned up his beef, but he gave me an interesting answer, and that answer was he has not appeared on the show since he pretty much took out Bayless with some facts about his high school basketball career. So that was interesting to me that he gave you, if nothing else, a little bit of a glimpse into some behind-the-scenes ESPN stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so you think Jalen will provide you with the is it the all-alley team that you asked him for?
It's the all-dark alley team, right. And then he's never done this before, which I'm surprised they haven't done this, the all-habitual line-stepper team.
Yeah, he should do that with the NBA, which would be sort of interesting to me. If you do the habitual line-stepping team across sports, I mean, it wouldn't be that tough. There's a lot of guys who sort of habitually step the line until they're cut. I think he put Greg Hardy on that team. I don't see him cut from the Cowboys. Although Ryan Mallett just got cut, actually, from the Texans, who missed a flight, and I would put that under line stepping and get cut. All right, listen, let's wrap this up. But Jalen Rose has been the guest. I just gave you, I gave you at the top all his particulars that he does. He really appears in a lot of different ESPN mediums, and he's an interesting listen. He grew on me. I didn't always love Jalen Rose, to be quite frank, when he first came on the scene as an analyst. But I like him. I like him now. I think he's an interesting voice. All right. Thank you again for listening to this podcast. Your support of it has been amazing. Please check out on si.com/podcast the previous ones. We are on SoundCloud and Stitcher and iTunes. And I think we may skip a week because I'm off next week. So I may not have a podcast next week, but we will be back in November with some interesting guests. And I think you'll enjoy it. So for Alan Kim, for my usual producer, Bette Marston, this is Richard Deitch. We'll see you next time on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.